We're going up, we're going forward, doing it every day, the Pierre way. We're going up, we're going forward, doing it every day, the Pierre way. We're going up, we're going forward, doing it every day, the Pierre way. We're going up, we're going forward, doing it every day, the Pierre way.
What's up, what's up?
What's going on, family?
Hey.
It's Robe.
And it's Mima.
And this is the Pierre Way Podcast, coming at you with a juicy episode today.
Ooh.
There's some stuff we got to talk about.
Uh-oh. Am I in trouble?
So, y'all, once upon a time in our relationship, there was another woman. Mm. And I'm going to pass it to Mima.
Because her name was ministry. Bum, bum, bum. Dum, dum, dum. Y'all, listen, there was a season in life. We were early in our dating or marriage.
No, what was a marriage? It was like engagement.
Okay.
Like dating, engagement, yeah. Time. And
yeah. Where I used to say ministry was the other woman. And the reason why I felt that way was because it felt like Robe had spent so much of his time in doing all the ministry things, right? Whether it was preaching, whether it was leading, whether it was serving. And not that I wasn't serving. I was serving too, you know, like I was involved. But it felt like in that season that it was like, if you weren't with me, you were doing ministry stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I remember actually one time a friend of ours, I feel like she said it to me, like she was just like, oh, like he's just so busy with ministry all the time. And I casually was like, yeah, ministry's the other woman. And that's where it stemmed from. And so weirdly enough, I wore it like a badge of honor. I would like say it to people casually, not even upset, like just like, yeah, ministry's the other woman. Ministry's the other woman. That's just what it is. Mm. But now obviously looking back, that was terrible. Like in a lot of ways. And so I guess the question to you maybe is how did you feel when I used to say that? Because I think I said it to you a couple of times.
No, he didn't.
Wait, I've never said that to you?
No, I never found out that you felt that way until after we kind of got married.
Not us not knowing things about each other.
This season is us discovering stuff about like evolving each other. No, I didn't know that. I mean,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I think, so the whole notion of ministry being the other woman, I think what ended up happening was that we were all so passionate about ministry. We really loved God and we loved youth ministry. We loved serving the next generation and we loved just like pouring ourselves into people. Mm. And so for me, I kind of had the role of the person that we would gather everyone together, train leaders, build, plan, program, all of these different things. And so, and that's time consuming. So you add that on top of being a full-time college student at BC and, you know, and doing that. So it was all consuming. It took a lot of time. And in the, by junior year of college, I was the director of a nonprofit putting together a conference for like 2,000, 3,000 kids. And so, and raising money and doing all that, preaching, touring, traveling, it was a lot.
Yeah, I remember those.
It was a lot of ministry at such a young age.
Right.
It was a lot of ministry before, and we were doing that before 22.
Yeah.
Dang.
That was before we got married.
It's so crazy because now you're looking at it and it's like the amount of ministry that we used to do at 20, 21 was intense.
No, it was astronomical. You know, and I think that, I mean, I didn't have any bad intentions when I called ministry the other woman. I just, for me, I think when I was saying it, I was interpreting it as like, you know, you like you said, you just have so much of your time invested in ministry that at times it did feel like it was the other woman. You know, if we had to title this episode, I would call it like work-life balance. Because even though ministry wasn't necessarily work for you at the time, it, you know, I think it felt like the equivalent of like being with someone who has like a really intense job.
Yeah.
Right.
Because at that point, that's good to say, at that point, I wasn't getting paid for anything I was doing.
No, you were not in full-time ministry getting paid.
I was not in full-time ministry. This was all for the glory of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And And I think that that was an, like, you know, another weight and another another stressor with it.
On top of you, like you said, being in school, on top of the stressors of like you had to find out a job after college. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I was working still.
So I think
that's one of the things. You know, as a man, I think for us as men, there are a lot, not just men, everybody. I think when you are passionate about something and when you have goals and dreams, and I'm somebody who will walk into an empty space and see it full and see so many different aspects of it that's not there yet. Yeah. So when you're working towards a vision and you're excited about it and it's connect and it's pure and it's connected to something that you believe in, you can give your whole self to it. Absolutely. And I don't know if any of you out there can kind of like relate to this, where it's like, you'll give your time, man. When you're passionate about a business and you just started it, you'll work overtime. You'll stay late. You'll wake up early.
Right.
You'll be consumed by it. And when I first started in ministry and I saw its effects, I saw how it transformed lives, how sermons and relationships and all of that, how it transformed so many different people. What ended up happening was that, like, I gave everything to it.
Yeah.
I gave all of myself. I gave all of my time. I gave all of my energy to it, to the point where it wasn't even you as my fiance at the time that was feeling that. My family felt that.
Yeah, I remember.
My family used to be like, yo, you're never around. You're never available. You're always at the church. You're always doing something. They would feel that. And it was like, and I, at that point in my, what's the word I want to use? In my immature, unwise type of mind, I was like, that's the sacrifice. Mm. I would tell them like, yo, that's the price I'm paying.
Yeah.
That's like, at the end of the day, God's called me to do this. You don't see how many people are getting saved. You don't see how many people are getting healed, lives getting transformed. That's the sacrifice. And I think it's like, we're talking about ministry right now. And I think when, because of ministry, it's glorified, right? So it's like, you don't talk bad about him not being here. He's doing God's work. But I think there are people, if you were take ministry out, you're doing the same thing with your job. You're doing the same thing with that business.
I mean, if you're about the grind, right?
Yeah,
like you're trying to like build legacy, like generational wealth is like, you're like, I'm going to go ham. I'm going to go to every meeting. I'm going to do the best I can. If you want to climb up the ladder at work, like it's like, oh, I'm going to do this with my boss. I'm going to show up, stay late, all this stuff. And the reality of it is that like, it's all the same. It's just like, when you're so hyper-focused on your goal, whatever your goal is, there is this mentality that you got to do whatever it takes to get there.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
The unfortunate reality of that is we think that the grind means that there has to be some sacrifices.
Yeah.
And some of those sacrifices are very much so not healthy.
Yeah. And so what shifted that for us is that when we first got married, before we got married, we did premarital counseling.
Yeah.
And one of the first thing that was talked about with us was like, okay, you guys are doing a lot of ministry. There's a lot happening. And you need to make sure that the foundation of your marriage is strong.
Yeah.
And you cannot sacrifice your marriage at the altar of ministry.
Right.
I'll never forget that phrase.
Yeah.
It was one of the things that we were like, that was like a light bulb moment. It's like, this relationship cannot be sacrificed because ministry is taking place. Mm-hmm. And so then what ended up happening is that I went through a process of figuring out how to prioritize.
Right.
And if anyone is out there and you're passionate about something and you, and there's so many different parts of you, whether it's a marriage, whether it's your family, whether it's your health, whatever, you got to, they're prioritizing these things are really key and important.
Yeah.
So then I realized like, man, this comes first before preaching, before, you know, a conference, before traveling, all of that, our relationship comes first.
Yeah.
And our marriage is not to be sacrificed. Like, God is not calling me to sacrifice my marriage for his church.
Right.
That's not happening.
Right.
Like, that's not the call.
Yeah.
And I think that was a wake-up call for me. That was a wake-up call for me. And I think when it comes to us as men being so passionate about something, it's, you don't allow your passions to meet your reality without having your without having your boundaries in place.
Yeah. And I also want to shed light too to shift it, is that like, it's also the same for women as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we have some boss women out here in these streets, and they're doing their thing, and it is great to see women like do what they're doing. Absolutely. But it's the same thing on that end as well, is you have to make sure that you prioritize, you know, and you have to make sure that, you know, you make you just got to make sure that you know what the main thing, right?
Absolutely.
I remember one time when I was in, I think it was grad school. I had, she wasn't even a professor. She was my mentor. She
my
was our
therapist.
Mentor. Your therapist. don't show her name because you want nobody stealing her.
Oh, I
right?
can't.
But she was so precious to both
She's
of us.
She's amazing.
But I remember, I think we had either just had Robin or we were about to have Robin. I'm not sure which child we were in between. But we were basically in the space where we wanted
to have
children.
We were about to have Robin.
Yeah.
And we were deciding on whether
Number
to
two.
Have Robin.
Oh, was it deciding to have Robin?
Whether to have Robin. That was the decision.
Yes. And so.
You were in grad school.
At the time I was in grad school and I had some personal like career goals. And I will never forget. She told me, she was like, you have to make a choice. And when you make that choice, you just have to know that something has got to give. Because the reality of it is that if you choose to have a child right now, you may not be able to prioritize school at the same time. You know, you're going to have to prioritize that child. You're going to have to, you know, focus on growing that child and stuff. And it's okay because at some point, once things are established and settled, then you can begin to prioritize again school or career and things of that nature. And so I think for men and for women, it's like, you got to understand balance in that. I don't think balance is just like everything's in one row. I think of it, I don't know what the name of that thing is. You know, the thing that goes up and down that you put stuff on and it's like a weight. A scale, but not like a scale like you get on like mm-hmm. to weigh yourself, but like, you know, the scale that teeter-tatters is like, you know, the reality of it is that in life, the scale is going to be moving back and forth.
Right, right, right.
You know, and we shouldn't stress ourselves out trying to get it to be equal because sometimes certain spaces of life call for it to be unbalanced.
Yes.
Right?
That's good.
The reality of it and the truth in that is that you just have to be able to move with the seasons
yeah.
to know that like, okay, in this season, this has to be more, you know, and I'm okay. This doesn't have to completely go away, right?
Right.
It's just a little bit lower right now.
Right.
But once this thing is kind of like established or whatever, okay, then we can start, you know, maybe getting things equal, maybe like go up again. Like, so we just have to be able to balance the scale out and not be so stressed about it always being equal.
Yeah. What I like to say is that everything in your life except God has to be able to bow. Mm. So God's not bowing to nobody.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you have to bow to God.
Yeah.
And when it comes to your marriage has to be able to bow. Mm-hmm. When it comes to your children don't come before your marriage. Your children got to be able to bow before your marriage to understand that mommy and daddy need to put themselves first.
Right.
And you need to make sure that mommy and dad need to make sure that they are well taken care of so then they could be good parents to you. And then there are things like jobs and all that stuff. That has to bow to family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like every aspect of your life has to be able to bow. And it's very important for you to clarify who's bowing to what.
Yeah.
And what is this bowing to exactly? And I think once that happens, it helps.
Yeah.
It helps. It helps with balancing life. It helps with knowing what to do. And then there are, like you said, there are some circumstances that happen that causes for your attention to be more than the other. But as you grind, especially, I want to speak to like everyone at this point. I don't want to single out any specific demographic. But as you grind and you want to get to a place, whether it's based on money, whether it's based on success, whether it's based on a platform, whatever it is, wherever you're trying to go, it's like we talked about this last season. It's like you need to balance the destination and the journey.
Yeah.
And so one of the things like I heard early on and I was like, you know what? This is so true. Mm-hmm. That, and I wanted to be mindful of it. It's like you don't want to get to where you are trying to get to and you finally get there. And you look around and you did not maintain, take care of any of these important relationships.
Yeah.
So here you are successful. Number one, this, like you did all of this stuff and you look around and everybody that you love, everybody that loves you has walked away from you or they're not close anymore because you did not invest in that relationship, in those relationships. And so I think it's really important for each and every single person to take a good inventory of how you're grinding.
Yeah.
How are you working? How are you moving forward when it comes to your dreams and your goals? And who are you moving forward with? Mm-hmm. You know, I think now it's like, I look at like when we're with my mom or our families and I'm like how we're holding on to those precious moments. Whereas there were times where it's just like, I was so busy, you know, so busy. There are so many things that I missed. I didn't prioritize. I didn't have that revelation yet.
Yeah.
Because our pastor says this all the time. When you get to the top of the mountain, what you're going to see is that there's other mountains. So whatever it is you're trying to get to right now is like, once you get there, there's going to be more for you to get to. And so the beauty of it is getting to success. It's getting to, you know, purpose.
Yeah.
It's fulfilling purpose and looking around and be like, man, the people that I love, the people that care for me, the people that held me down are still here with me. Mm-hmm. Granted, I do want to kind of do an aside here that there are just some people that are just not conducive to you accomplishing your vision, your goal, your dreams, and you got to say goodbye to some folks. I don't want to feel like you got to hold on. Yeah. I'm really talking about here, like the people you can't get away from, like family.
Right. Your, your children.
Your children, your family, your spouse, and the people that you love, and just prioritizing that and prioritizing yourself.
It's so important to just be in tune with the seasons too. And to reiterate that, is like you wanna constantly be taking inventory of like where you're at, the people around you. Like, and you know, for some people, they literally have to plan it like every 3 months. Okay, like, am I balanced? Like, am I good? Like, and for other people, it's like, okay, I just started a job. Let's make sure that things are balanced. Okay, like, we just moved. Let's start make sure we're balanced. Okay, we have this transition. So you, it's a constant thing you have to be doing. It's not a once a year or a, you know, once in a while, like, yeah, I'll check on everybody, see how we're doing. And just being honest with yourself as you check in, because the reality of it is that I could check in and be like, yeah, our marriage is great. And then I ask you and you're like, no, this is terrible. Like, this is so bad.
Yeah.
So it's also being realistic. You know, depending on how old your children are, checking in with them as well. You know, being like, you know, like, hey, do you like spending, like, do you want to spend more time together? Or what's going on? You know, and don't just do it just to check a box off of the list and be like, yep, I did it. I'm done. Like, and then go back to it. It's like, no, from there, you have to consciously make a choice to change and shift.
So I do want to ask you a question, because I do talk to a lot of men that do feel like they are passionate, whether it's a ministry, whether it's a job, whether it's a goal that they have. And it's very hard for them to find a woman that understands that.
Okay.
Where they're like, yeah, I want to be with this woman, or I love this woman, and but they just can't get with my schedule. They can't get with how passionate I am in this area and how much time it's requiring.
Yeah.
From me. And I, like, I talk to a lot of men that are in that space, that feel that. And I think there's a certain point in time in our relationship, you were in that space as a woman to feel like, you know what? Like, I remember there are times you're like, yo, we haven't gone on a date in months. Like, what's going on? Like, you felt like that.
Yeah.
What helped you overcome that space? What made you, I don't want to toot my own horn, but like, what made you stay?
But that's basically like,
like, that's like, what made you stay? Because I feel like I'm still passionate. I feel like I'm still driven.
That's good.
I still want to, there are things I still want to accomplish. I'm still a big dreamer. I still work hard.
Yeah.
So what made you stay? Like, help our brothers out and our sisters out with your experience.
Yeah. I think one of the bigger reasons as to why women may feel like, you know, that job is the other woman or that goal is the other woman, that ministry is the woman, is, plainly put, lack of communication. I have found that over the years, as we've learned to communicate and that we communicate more, I'm able to really understand the depths of your heart as to why your goals are your goals, why your dreams are your dreams, why are you so passionate? And if I can't understand that, my grace for you is going to be very low.
Wow.
So being able to understand how deep it runs for you and what it means for you and, you know, how it impacts you, helped me to build that grace for you. And me praying to, like, God, give me grace for this, because what you want to do may not be easy. What you want to do may conflict with what we have going on, but I want to be able to support you. I want to be able to have your back. And recognizing too that, like, while I'm asking God to help me with you, to also be like, because God, is going to be a day that I have my goals and my dreams and my visions, and I want him to support me.
That is so good, because the thing about it is, it's like, a lot of the times, a lot when I hear about this, sometimes, because it's not just women that feel like this.
Yeah.
Men sometimes feel like this about women.
Absolutely.
Like, women are too, they got a lot going on. They're always busy. They always do all these different things. What I sometimes find out is that there is one person in the relationship that is not as driven, or that they don't necessarily have
They don't have anything going for them.
Like they have a lot more time on their hands, or they haven't gotten to in that space in their journey yet where something is pulling at their attention.
Yeah.
And so the time is different.
Yeah.
But that has happened with you.
Like, I mean, once we started, like, for example, we started having children. So then my focus as a mom was like, oh, we have kids. We have other responsibilities, right? It's not just you and I.
Right.
Now we have things going on at home. And so even in that season, it was me communicating to you like, hey, I need your support as a dad. Mm-hmm. I need you to be more present. Like, so again, goes back to the communication. You have to be able to share with her your heart beyond just, this is what I want to do. I love this. I'm passionate about it. It's like, share the depths of your heart. Like, is it like your purpose, your calling? What is it about this that like, you're so desperate to just get to that goal and then have the conversation of like, how can I support you?
Can I say something real quick? Like, when she says share the depths of your heart, it's not just, this is my call. It's not just this is what God is asking me to do and I'm going to do it. Yeah. It's like, you got to get a bit more vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And to kind of say like, why?
Yeah.
Like, why is this requiring so much energy?
Yeah.
Because when I noticed the shift was when we became partners.
Yes. And that's what I was going to get to is like, once you were able to be vulnerable and share the depths of why this thing is so big for you, it allowed me to say, okay, then I can support you, but supporting you wasn't just me being okay with the long hours that you put into getting to your goal. Supporting you looked like I was going with you. So that season when we first got married, when you were leading that nonprofit, I was going with you everywhere.
Yeah.
we were doing it together. I may not have been physically active as it relates to doing things, but I was right beside you.
Right.
I was like, I'm gonna ride it out with you.
Yeah.
Like we were in a space where we could have done that because we didn't have kids.
Right.
We didn't have any other responsibilities. But the truth is that it was like, okay, like I'm gonna help you win. Like I'm gonna be in your passenger seat. I'm gonna be a ride or die.
Right.
For lack of better words. And so when you are able to bring her into your world, and to be able to walk that walk with her, it just, again, that grace, you just end up building a grace for it. And at the same time too, while you probably recognize the grace that I had for you, you also recognize that like you needed to also step up and do better as well.
Right.
So it wasn't just I'm giving, I'm sacrificing. You also were like, I feel like, I don't know if this was it. I feel like because you saw what I was doing for you that you felt like, okay, I got to reciprocate it back.
No, I mean, I just knew that it's like, it's the deposits.
Right.
It's like, I got a deposit into my marriage. I got a deposit into my relationship. And at the end of the day, ministry can be so successful. So many people can be saved. National, all international, all this stuff. Lights turn off.
It's you and I.
It is us and the house. So then what have I deposited in this?
Yeah.
And I think while all of us are trying to be so successful, there's going to come a time where the lights will turn off on that business, where the sun will go down in that space. And what you got to be able to realize is that you're left with what you have deposited in your relationships.
Yeah. Now I want to, cause right. We were engaged, married. I do want to talk to the singles who are trying to do the same thing. They're on their grind, maybe aspire to be married one day, to be in a relationship, or maybe are dating, you know? It's equally as important, even with like your friendships, even with your family, to be able to invest in that community as well. Because again, these are people who, you know, at the end of the day, like you said, when you get to the mountaintop, they still are going to be there for you. They should still be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say so long, bye-bye to your family, and you're just running around doing like your own thing, like, you don't want to be lonely at the end of it all. You know, you want to be able to have people in your corner celebrating with you the wins when you achieve your goals, you know? Yeah. So
the Pierre way when it comes to work-life balance is to pay attention to those around you. Grind, but you have to carry have the ability to prioritize. Yeah. Prioritize your family, prioritize your marriage.
Yeah.
Prioritize your relationship with God, like your spiritual life in the midst of it all. Don't let that go haywire.
Yeah.
That can sometimes happen where you're so busy working that you realize you didn't invest any time in prayer and in just your relationship with God.
Yeah.
And do not let your dreams and do not let your goals completely ruin and sabotage key relationships that you know you're going to need at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so when you get to where God has for you to get to, you want to be able to celebrate with a room of people that has loved you through it and you've loved them and supported them all the way through.
Absolutely. All right.
All right. Love you, family. This has been another episode of the Pierre Way Podcast. If you haven't done so, follow us. What are you doing? Go on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, the Pierre Way Podcast. Subscribe. Share this with a friend if you know they need it. Let us know how you're doing with work-life balance. We know we don't have it perfect every day. Let's find some community in and through this channel and this resource. We love you. We'll see you next week for another episode of the Pierre Way Podcast. Until then, keep moving onwards and upwards.
That's right.
Peace.
We're going up. We're going forward. Doing it every day. The Pierre Way. We're going up. We're going forward. Doing it every day. The Pierre Way.